May the love of God the Father, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with all of us. The text for our today's reading is as I've read, it's from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 6. I want to focus on the verse says, the wind was against them. As we read from the story, Jesus was told the disciples to go to the other side of the city, to the area called Bethsaida, and he left to pray. While they were traveling on the boat, the strong wind came against them and they stuck in the middle. So the text, the verse said, the wind was against them. Naturally, in the ancient time, when they traveled by boat, they used the direction of the wind to go whenever they like. But this time, it didn't work. It is the opposite, that they couldn't go where Jesus told to be there. And the text said, the wind was against them. Wind is part of the nature, as we know. It's part of the nature, so the nature was against them. Why the nature is against them? Why it's not cooperative? Why they are struggling with the wind instead of using it? To understand this, we have to go to the creation story. In the Genesis, the book of Genesis, we see the creation order. God created in the first day, in the second day, in the third day, up to the fifth day. In the first day of the creation, he created heaven and earth. And the second day, all things he has finished creating up to the fifth day. After creating what is necessary for human beings, on the sixth day, the Bible says that God created human being on his image and on his likeness. When the Bible says God created humans on his image and likeness, not only the physical likeness, but that shows that the authority and the power, the dominion he gave or he shared to the human being. So when God created all creation, he brought to Adam to take care of creation and to use of creation. Besides that, to have dominion and the power over creation. So in the Bible, we see the first two chapters of Genesis, we see how human beings were using that creation for his benefit, and also Adam and Eve, they were taking care of the creation. They had harmony, they had fellowship. There was no problem. And also they had fellowship and relationship with the Creator God. But when we come to the third chapter of Genesis, everything has changed. When sin introduced came to the Garden of Eden for the first time, Satan used the serpent, and when he told Eve and Adam to eat what God told them not to eat, the first time when they disobeyed God and ate from the tree of good and evil, they couldn't resist and stand before God and the creation as it was before. So Adam ran away from God and hid himself in the bush. When God came to look for Adam, he couldn't find where they're supposed to be. And he called Adam, said, Adam, Adam, where are you? He said, I couldn't resist you. I cannot stand before you like before. Now enmity has come between you and me. So when the human beings fall in sin, three enmities has created. The first one was enmity between God and the human being. They couldn't talk as they were talking before. Their relation has broken. That's why the first step God has done was God took them out of the garden, out of his presence, and he just puts the angels to keep the gate of Eden, not to let them get in. The second enmity came between, as we see, between nature and the human beings. God told Adam, now you have to work hard. You have to struggle with nature. Nature will bear for you thorns, struggle, causes. So things after this is struggling, is fighting. It's not easy as it was before. That's one of the fruit of disobedience. And the third one, enmity, came was between man and man, or man and woman. As you hear from the Genesis chapter 3, when God came and looked for Adam and Eve, and when Adam told to God that he is naked, he cannot stand before God, God asked Adam, who told you that you are naked? Did you eat what I told you not to eat? And Adam said, it is because of the woman you gave me, I ate it. That's what he said. That means, it's not me, it's not my mistake. The first thing, it is your mistake, God, because it is the woman whom you gave me. If you didn't give me her, maybe I'm good, I will be good. But you are the one who gave me this trouble-making woman. And he said, she is the one who did that. So now, Adam is complaining and blaming God and his father, his wife. The first day when God brought to him Eve, Adam said, oh, this is my body. This is my flesh. How beautiful is. And he said, he accepted in love. But when the sin came, the enmity came and they said, it is you who did this. It's not me. So the enmity began there. The war began there. And when you come to the fourth chapter, killing each other began. Brother killed his brother. There were not many, there were only two on this entire world. But brother killed brother because that's the fruit of sin. So that's why we see in our today's reading, the nature was against them. Jesus told them to cross over the other side of the river. That's Jesus' commandment. He commanded them to go there. But the nature, the wind, just stopped them to reach where God told them to reach. So they were, as we see from the text, they were in terrified and trouble, struggling with the nature, with the wind, to cross over. But they couldn't. They were in fighting. At this time, Jesus, the Bible says, I like that part. The Bible says, Jesus came to them walking on the river. He came walking on the river because he is the God who created the earth, the heaven, the universe. So he who gave them in the book of Genesis, the creation, now he is still God. He has control and the power over nature. He came walking on that. Still he is the master of the universe, but they lost. They lost the sharing, the likeness God gave to them. They couldn't do as they were doing in the Garden of Eden. That's why Jesus came to them. And when they saw Jesus again, they terrified. They thought as they see ghosts because they were in trouble. In that trouble, they saw Jesus. It's kind of mixing. So they more terrified. And Jesus, take heart. It is I. That I is his divinity. Because you remember in the Gospel of John chapter 19, when the Roman soldiers came to arrest Jesus with Judas Iscariot in the Gethsemane where they were praying, Jesus asked them, whom are you looking for? They said, we are looking for Jesus. And he said, it is I, the same word he used here. At this time, they went back, they bowed down, and they worship him, because that it is I is the Yahweh, the God of Alpha and Omega, the creator of universe. He is the Yahweh, the God Almighty. Because at that time, his divinity was revealed. The same thing happened here. He said, take heart, it is I. Then the Bible says that he climbed into their boat and he was with them. When, as I just told for the children, when he get into their boat, all the wind, all the storm ceased down and it was peace. Peace. Peace in the Hebrew definition, peace means, is they called shalom. Shalom means defined as it is the presence of God. The dominion of God. When God domains, when God takes all the authority, they call that shalom, that peace. The opposite word is shaol. Shaol is the opposite for shalom, which means where there is no God dominion, where God is not ruling, where there is chaos and where there is trouble. So when Jesus, the Prince of Peace, enter into their boats, the Bible say the wind ceased. It was quiet. Now, God, who has authority over the nature, who gave them, who shared his authority and the power in the Genesis to them, now again, it is, he is with them. That boat looks like the Eden, Garden of Eden, where they were. Peace with everything. Peace with God, peace with nature, peace with each other. So he sees the nature. Jesus did three things in our readings today, in the Gospel of Mark. The first thing is, when you go back few verses, as we see last week, he fed 5,000 people with five bread and two fish. I like that number, five bread and two fishes, total seven. Seven is the full number in the Bible. It is a blessing. You know, you remember in the Genesis creation story, God created everything up to 6 days. The seventh day is the rest day. The seventh day is the Sabbath, the rest and eat what they have. The same is true in the wilderness. When they walk in the wilderness for 40 days, they were eating the manna. The way they eat manna, the 6 days, they collect early in the morning for 6 days. On 7 days, they will not collect. They will have the leftover from the 6 day. So in the other day, they cannot keep for the next day. But because if they keep it for the next day, it become rotten and they will not eat. But on the seventh day, they will not worry about it because they have enough. They don't want to go early in the morning to collect because it is Sabbath, the rest day. So that's five loaves and the two fish, total seven, it is own meaning. And as I've said, one of the main meaning is Jesus among them. They brought that bread to him. He blessed and gave it to them. because where there is Jesus, where there is God, because it is peace and harmony with nature as well. That's what we are going to take this morning. When you come to the Lord's table, we remember that God is blessing. God is giving us Himself. And the second thing Jesus did, is here as we see, that He seized the storm. He calmed down the storm, that He brought peace and harmony with the nature. As we see in today's Old Testament reading from Genesis chapter 9, we read about the rainbow, that God made a covenant with human being and nature, not to destroy human being again with water. That rainbow is the sign of reconciliation, man with nature. And the third thing Jesus did here is He healed everybody, the healing of the body. That's our body is called flesh, is carnal. Adam means it's a flesh, it's a clay. That healing the body is reconciling human beings, human body. He healed every human being. The healing came to humans. So that reminds us the peace Jesus brought for them. This also reminds us the coming of Jerusalem, the new Garden of Eden. In Revelation chapter 7, beginning from verse 14, we see the picture of the coming of the new Jerusalem, that there is no cry, there is no pain, there is no crisis, that the shepherd himself wiped away their tears. Here in our chapter 6, Mark chapter 6, Jesus saw the crowd and they don't have the shepherd. That was His concern. They have no shepherd. So when we come to this text, it is the picture of the coming of the new Jerusalem, that the Lamb Himself become their shepherd. He leads them to the land of nature, to the where everything is harmony with them. So before the fall, human being has enmity with these three things, with God Himself, with each other, and with nature. But Jesus, our peace, when He came, He made this reconciliation. That's what Apostle Paul wrote on Ephesians chapter 2. Beginning from verse 1, he said, "You were enemy with God because of disobedience. You were far away from Him, but now you come close with Him by His reconciliation. So He is our peace, everlasting peace." So today, as I've said, when we come to the Lord's table, we remember that the reconciliation Christ has done by His death and the resurrection. He brought peace with God the Father. He brought peace with nature. He brought peace with brothers and sisters. So wherever we come to His Lord, with God's, with the Lord's table, we come with His remembrance. In this earth, we celebrate this fellowship, this coming together, this brotherhood and harmony, and remembering the coming New Jerusalem in heaven, where the Lamb Himself will be our shepherd, our light, who wipe away all of our tears. May the peace of God, which pass all understanding, keep our minds and our heart through Jesus, our Lord and Savior, for life everlasting. Amen.